time that's good to have you in service today. God bless you. Turn with me in the book of John, St. John's Gospel, chapter number 18. St. John's Gospel, number 18. Maybe while you're turning there, let me remind you one more time. Call someone that is not here this morning. I know some that are not well. But look around, and those that are not here, encourage them to come tonight if they possibly can, to be in the service with the representative of the Chosen People Ministries. I'm going to read from the 28th verse of the 18th chapter of John's Gospel. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It's not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Thou sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. I'm going to conclude the reading of the scriptures there. I want you to think about it. Less than a week earlier, the Bible says when Jesus was making his way into the capital city of Jerusalem, the people lined the highway, the byways, and they were shouting, crying out, Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. It was an exciting time. Stay with me right now, if you will, and understand what I'm saying. Their Messiah, the one that they longed for, the one that they had prayed for, that he would come, has now come on the scene, and they're excited about the fact that the Messiah is now amongst them, the one that was promised by the prophets of old. He's making his way into Jerusalem, riding upon a colt. The people were expecting the kingdom to be set up. I want to make something clear. This is not Bible study, but let me make it clear. When the Jewish Messiah was coming, when he arrived, they thought, because of what the Old Testament prophets had said, they thought that he would overthrow the Roman yoke. That Rome would no longer rule over Israel. That he would set himself up as king. He would go into the city of Jerusalem. He would sit on the throne of David, and he would begin to reign. But now, we find things are altogether different. He said, I'm going to die. And there's some confusion amongst the people. But earlier they had said, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. And now, just a few days later, after all this said, he's brought before Pilate. I'm going to read some things that I jotted down as they came to my mind. Jesus has eaten the Passover supper with his disciples. He's been betrayed by Judas. He's been arrested by the soldiers. He's been ridiculed by the mob. He's been denied by Peter. He's been questioned by the chief priest. He's been tried by the high court. He's been mocked by the crowd. And now he's being interrogated by Pilate. And there's something important I want to bring to your attention. Here's Pilate. A mortal man. Governor.
having been appointed by the authorities of Rome to be the governor of Judea. And he's making a judgment having to do with Jesus, the Christ of glory. I want to leave something in your mind before I go on. Here's a man, a mortal man, making a judgment concerning life and death of Jesus. And the Bible tells me that Jesus has been ordained by God to judge the earth. Here's Pilate judging the Christ of glory, when the Christ of glory is going to judge all. I'm glad I know Him. Amen. 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 And when Pilate has completed his interrogation, early on a Friday morning in April, possibly in the year AD 32, or maybe AD 33, the Bible tells me that he's come to a conclusion. He's interrogating him. He's asked questions of him. He's had the Lord to answer him, and he came to this conclusion. I find in him no fault at all. Amen. And I say, I have interrogated myself. I have asked myself. I find no fault in him at all. He's altogether lovely. He's my Savior. He's my shepherd. He's my king. 700 years earlier, Isaiah the prophet began to prophesy. Then he wrote it down in the book. Made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. In the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And amen, I say today, he was just and he was righteous and he was sinless. But the Bible tells me that Pilate, being a governor of Judea, a Roman citizen, how he says, and I find in him no fault at all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's agreeing, he's echoing the words of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah found no fault in him, and now the governor finds no fault, and I find no fault.
Amen.
Thank God, thank God, thank God. And that's what I want to preach about. I find in him no fault at all. Amen. First of all, it's important for us to know that Pilate was a first-hand witness. It wasn't something that was passed down to him. He is witnessing for himself. Well, let me just throw something in here. We were not there when Jesus was crucified. But we know that we know that we know that our sins are forgiven. We know that we're saved. If you have any reservations, I urge you to come to the altar this morning. Because if you're saved, you know it. Here's Pilate saying, and here, I find in him no fault at all. But did you know, in all of this, Pilate is a first-hand witness, and there's a lot of people today that have all kinds of ideas, they've come to all kinds of conclusions, they were not there, they were non-interrogators, they did not question Jesus, and they've come to so many different opinions, results. In their thinking. So let me just read two or three with you before I go on. Did you know that there are a lot of theologians, religionists today that do not believe that Jesus is deity?
Yes.
They believe that he was a good man, but he's not God.
Amen.
I want to make a statement very plain. If Jesus is not God, he is not a good man. Let me say that again. If Jesus is not God, he is not a good man. When the rich young ruler came and said to him, calling Jesus my good master, Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. And what he was saying to the rich young ruler, unless you recognize me as God, there's no salvation. Unless we recognize Jesus Christ as a member of the Godhead, he's God. Amen. Here is Pilate, first-hand witness. He sees for himself, but today, so many, saying that they do not believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, they do not believe, this is so important today, they do not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. They say it's impossible. But I've read a verse in the Bible that says what's impossible with man is possible with God. Amen, amen. They say, it could not be possible that born of a virgin. I want everyone to know he was born of a virgin.
Amen.
And then they go further to say, He surely was not sinless. He was not sinless. Like Isaiah had said, like others have said, he's not sinless. I want everyone to understand this. If he is not sinless, he cannot take care of our sins.
Amen.
And then his miracles were nothing more than trickery by the power of the devil. He's a blasphemer. He's called all kind of names, and that's what people are doing today.
Yes.
Did you know the atheist in America is growing by leaps and bounds?
Yes.
The numbers.
Yes.
We are living in a perilous time. I don't know whether you've seen the news, but they have taken the Pledge of Allegiance out of one school district in California. And this is what they said, we can't find time. Our time is too important to teach them this and this and this. We can't find time for 11 seconds. To give their pledge of allegiance to the flag. We've come to a time when we want to do away with the flag, want to do away with God.
Right.
Want to do away with everything that's good.
Right.
I want everyone to understand today. Paul said, I find in him no fault at all. There is no fault in Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If we leave here today with that thought ringing in our mind, people have searched all kinds of ways to try to bring down the Lord. I happened to work while I was in the Air Force. I happened to work in the Crypto Center, which was just an opening between us and the Teletype Center. And I worked a night shift from time to time, and I struck up conversation with two of the others on the other side of that little opening there. We would pass messages, coded messages, and back and forth when they came over the Teletype to the Crypto and all that. I got to talking to two young men. And one of those got saved. And his family got saved. And the last time we heard from them, they live in South Carolina. Retired from the Air Force and now retired from the ship, from the post office. Two retirements and still serving God. The other boy was of a different faith altogether. Didn't believe what the Bible had to say. Didn't believe that Jesus was sinless. Didn't believe that he was God in the flesh. Didn't believe what the Bible has to say. And the last time I saw him, he was still unsaved. Because if a man doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he's God himself, he cannot be saved. Pilate, this is first-hand witness, amen. And I'm glad that I can tell you, I found the same result of when I began to look at the Bible and what the Bible has to say about the Lord. I find no fault in him. He lived a sinless life, and the miracles he did was not by a trickery, it was by the power of the Holy Ghost. And God is still real.
Amen.
If we need a miracle today, he's still a miracle worker. Thank God, thank God, thank God. It was not that way with Pilate. What these are saying about his deity, about his sinner's life, he personally, he was there, had questioned and said, I find no fault in him. He's completely convinced. I'm going to read something from the scriptures again. He was so convinced that Jesus was not guilty. I'm going to read the 38th verse. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Go to the 19th chapter, 4th verse. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Look at the 6th verse. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried to us, saying, crucify him! Crucify him, Pilate said unto them. Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. 3 times, Pilate said, I don't find any fault in him. I want to digress just a moment. I want to mention fault finding. Just throwing it out just for a moment. Did you know there are a lot of folks in this world that are looking for faults in others? They're searching for something in others that they can find fault. So I want to testify, having been the only pastor that this church has had up until now,
And I've seen a lot of people come and go, and many have died and gone on. You don't have to look very far to find faults. Every one of us have room for improvement.
Amen.
You agree with that?
Yes.
If you're looking for faults, you can find them. But if you're looking for something good, you can find that as well.
Amen.
Help us, God. Some people always see the dark side of things. Help us, God, to be like the Sunday school lesson that we studied this morning, that we'll realize the good that is in others. It will serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness. According to the historical record, and I'm going to come at a second thought now. First of all, Pilate has interrogated Jesus and said, I find in him before it all. But there's another side that some people believe that's altogether different from what I've just said. Some people believe that Pilate really was looking for something in Jesus that they could find fault, if you can understand where I'm coming from right now. The Jews and Pilate had been at odds with each other for a while. Sometimes Pilate has mistreated the Jews, and they have contacted Rome, the headquarters. And Pilate has been called on the carpet as to why this is happening, why that's happening. And so the Jews and Pilate were at odds against each other. And some believe that Pilate in this time was interrogating Jesus and trying to find something, some fault, somewhere, somehow, that he might appease the Jews, and that Rome might hear about it. He would be in a better light with the authorities in Rome than he is now. And so that was his reason for interrogating Jesus, looking for something that he could find fault. But if that was his reason for questioning Jesus, that makes it all the more wonderful what he said. If he was looking for something wrong, some fault in Jesus, and went through all this and finally came to the decision, there's none there. Brother, that makes it all the more wonderful. I don't know, I really have never read anything that really makes me believe that last part, that he was really searching for some wrongdoing in Jesus. Maybe he was, I don't know. But I've never thought that was the truth. But I want you to see something today. Here's a man that has been in the presence of the Lord. The people are crying out, crucify him, do away with him. And he said, why? What evil has he done? What's wrong has he done? They didn't even give an answer. Listen to what they said. If he wasn't guilty, we would never bought him. Now, that's a pitiful answer. If he wasn't guilty, we'd not have brought him to you. In essence, they were saying, he's guilty. We've already determined that, so do something. But I want you to see something. Pilate tried to be neutral. He decided, I'm not going to make the decision. I'm going to give him to you. I'll tell you what I'll do. There's a man in the prison house that's an insurrectionist, a murderer, named Barabbas. I'll give you a choice. Jesus of Nazareth or Barabbas. They said, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Put him to death. Kill him. We don't want anything to do with him. A week earlier, crying out, blessed is he, the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Some of the same crowd saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Anytime someone goes back on God, after having served God, loved God, lived for God, goes back on God, you know what they're saying every day? Crucify him one more time. I said, Brother Jones, I haven't heard anybody say that. That's exactly what they're doing. Crucify him. I don't want him. Here is Pilate interrogating Jesus. Come to the conclusion, there's no wrong in him. There's no vow. There's no violence in him. There's only justice and righteousness. I found him to be pure and holy. No wrong whatsoever. And the saddest part of the sermon this morning is this. Knowing what Pilate knew.
coming to the conclusion that Pilate came to, that this man is righteous and just and without sin, holy and pure, and yet he refused to accept him. If I stop right now when we pray, I have preached a sermon. This man knew Jesus. He's been in the presence of Jesus. He's heard about truth. He's asked some good questions. And he determines, in the conclusion of the matter, he determines that this man is not worthy of death. This man does not deserve death. There's no wrong in this man. He needs to be set free. But listen, he refused to set him free. He had the authority. It was his decision. But he decided that he'd be neutral. And so I want to preach just a few moments here. No man can be neutral.
Amen. Amen.
Pilate decided that he'd be neutral. But when he decided to be neutral, he made his decision. He made a decision not to accept Christ. He has been in the presence of the Lord. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Across from him was Pilate, a man that was unsaved. Across from him was a man that had been appointed as the governor of Judea that was unsaved, and he's in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And Pilate knows it. And he knows this is a man that the Old Testament prophets have talked about and we've heard about for the Jews' Messiah to come, and there he is, and yet Pilate refused to accept him, refused to turn his life over to him, refused to let Jesus come into his life and forgive him. The Bible says he called for a basin of water and he washed his hands and he said, "I am innocent of this, the blood of this man." And he washed his hands. I told you some tradition. I've read of several others. I don't believe probably anyone definitely knows what happened to Pilate. There are several traditions are that he was called back to Rome and relieved of his position as governor. Some said that he lost his mind. He was exiled to France. While he was in an institution, having lost his mind, he would walk up and down the halls of that institution and he was washing his hands and he'd keep on saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this man. I'm innocent of the blood of this just man." Listen closely. You can wash your hands with water from now till you die. Still be guilty. I'm preaching to somebody today because God has laid this on my heart. I hope you'll understand, Pilate had the great opportunity, and yet he refused to accept Christ. He walked out. He had said, "I find in him no fault at all." And yet he walked out without accepting him. I want to make one more statement. We're going to pray. I'm going to tell you my own testimony. I had been a pilot, not a governor. I had been a pilot. I was away from God. I was raised in the church. I knew of salvation when I was a little fella. A little fella. First 17 years of my life, I missed very few services because my folks believed in going to church. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, to the house of God. As a young person, we thought sometimes, man, I can do without once or twice these services, but my folks believed in going to church. I look back today, and I'm glad they did. But my wife and I were away from God. We knew what Pilate knew. We knew that there was no sin in Jesus. The sin was in us. And we knew that he was the only one that could help. And almost every Sunday for a year on Sunday morning, we went to that church in Idaho. We went to that church and listened to the preacher preach and the people sing, "God move." And we sit there until the service is over and leave without accepting Him. Let me say this today. That is a dangerous thing. I look back today. You and me, Ken, you and me, we could have been in hell a long time ago. But for the mercies of God. And every one of us, we're here today because of the mercies of God. If we'd gotten what we deserved, we'd have been cut off. He prayed with us. He knocked at our heart's door. He pleaded with us. Won't you come? Won't you come? The piano player would go to the piano. The song leader would go. And they would sing a song. And they would urge people to come and come. And there was a tug in my heart. But I wasn't ready. I knew the Lord was real. But I was ready to give. Listen, first, I'm glad that God gave me another opportunity. I'm glad He didn't cut me off. I was talking to James yesterday. Day before yesterday, he was stationed at Travis Air Force Base in California, same base that I was just a few years apart. He's mentioning how he was living away from God, and I was at that air base that I too was living away from God. I am glad that I can say, I'm not going to need to help this today. I knew. Since I was a little fella, a little boy, I knew that God was real. I'd seen God work. I'd seen the hand of God. I saw when a cigar-smoking policeman from the Newport News Police Department by the name of J.D. Fiji came to church in a revival in 1941, and I was there. And my cousin was preaching. When he gave the altar call, that policeman that smoked cigars, chewed cigars, walked down the aisle, got saved. And Brother Fiji became one of the pillars in the church at Greenwood until it died. Outstanding man. Outstanding man. I was there when some of them received the blessings and some healings and some miracles. I saw them. I knew that God was real. And yet I rejected Him like Pilate. But I say this morning to everyone, and I'm closing, I'm glad for His mercy. And I'm glad one day I came to my senses and I accepted Him as my Savior. It was the greatest decision I ever made. When Jesus was before the Jews, or Pilate was before the Jews, when they said, crucify Him, this is what He said, what then shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And I'm going to ask you that question. What are you going to do with Jesus? When you stand before God, if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing.
That's right.
What are you going to do with Jesus? Again, I testify. I thank God that He gave me the opportunity. I accepted Him. He forgave me. He saved me. He changed my life. He's been my provider. He's been my sword and my shield. My buckler. He's been my healer. He's been my Savior, my sanctifier, my baptizer. In fact, He's been everything. He's everything a man can ever want. Hallelujah. He's everything. And some people, for some beggarly, sinful habit, reject them, take their chances, and will miss heaven. Just like Pilate rejected Him, trying to be neutral, put it off, so I close. Every time you put it off, you have no promise of another time.
Amen.
When Tommy came to this church, Ken, his brother, had been a part of this church for some years. He kept on telling us about Tommy. Tommy works with me in the carpet business. We can just get Tommy to church. One Sunday, Ken was not able to come to church, and Tommy came. And the Sunday that Ken was not here, Tommy came and got saved.
Amen.
And I'm not saying this to build up anyone, but let me say this. From that day till this, Tommy has been faithful to come to church.
Yes.
I believe when you really sell out to God, you'll be faithful to God in His house. Won't let every little thing hinder you. But you'll be ready. Let me One time, come on to the piano, honey, if you will. Can you make it? Amen. Pilate knew that he was the Savior. He knew that he was the answer. And yet he did not accept him. He rejected him. I have no record in history. Nowhere have I ever read of anyone that believed that Pilate ever got saved. Lost forever. Because he made a decision. No to God. I'm going to end up on a different note. I accepted the Lord because he gave me one more chance, and I'm glad that I did. He changed my life. It's been the best life a man can live. Not that I'm good, but because he's good. This is the best life anyone can ever have. And I share this with you, and we're going to pray. If that is your experience, if the day you're saved, if the day you know that your name is written down, will you stand with me right now and let's just worship him? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise if you're saved right now. Why don't you just thank him out of your heart? Why don't you just thank him out of the depths of your soul? Why don't you just thank him, Brother Ken, lead us in prayer and praise the God. Amen. Amen.